In the name of the Father and the Son, Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. The passage of this blessed Sunday, the fourth Sunday of the blessed month of Ba'un, is as we just heard from Luke chapter 6, and it is a famous command from the Lord to us about to love our enemies. Every time we think of this command, some of us maybe find difficulties, some of us meditate, how can we do this? In many occasions, we think that we are doing the enemy a favor. I will forgive you, or I will deal with you in a kind way. But actually, if we examine it further, we find that here the Lord aiming at keeping the sanctity of our hearts. This command is we ourselves, we benefit from the most. There is a battle for the heart of any believer. So which kingdom does my heart belong to? So today we are going to talk about this, the battle for the heart. So we'll speak about 3 points. The first one is what is planted in my loan. The second one is the problem of an evil seed. And the third one is about uprooting the plans of the wicked one. So the first point is what is planted in my loan. What is my loan? What's my field? The loan is my heart. And it is up to me. It is my decision what I want to plant in it. As the Lord said in many parables, we read this, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. So it is my decision. If I want the kingdom of God to reign over my heart, I take a good seed and I plant it in it. So whenever it grows, the whole loan will be sanctified. When I seed love and forgiveness and compassion, all of these virtues are good seeds that eventually they grow up and make my heart to belong to the kingdom of God. On the other hand, whenever we see the kingdom of God, we understand that the enemy of all good also has his own enemy. We can call it the kingdom of Satan. We know that he reigns over not only the world, but in many of the hearts of the people who are living in it. So this kingdom of Satan can also be planted in my heart. When I accept the seed of hatred or bitterness or grudges, what am I doing? I am allowing the loan, my field, my heart, to belong to the kingdom of Satan. Sometimes we think that it's okay to have maybe my heart maybe split, maybe not equally. I love all the people except one person. I have no problem with 99% of the church except with a couple of people that I find difficulty to accept, not only on this level, but I can say further, maybe I hate those people. The command given to us is not to plant two seeds in the same field. This is from the Old Testament, by the way. God said, you shall not sow your vineyard with different kinds of seed, lest the yield of the seed which you have sown and the fruit of your vineyard be defiled. So the idea about having one field containing two kinds of seed is something prohibited, and for a reason that we'll talk about it in a minute. So the question here for us in the beginning of like this chapter, which kind of kingdom reigns over my heart? It depends on which kind of seed that I plant in. The second point is about the problem of an evil seed. What is the problem of acquiring or accepting or seeding or planting an evil seed? An evil seed of hatred or bitterness or grudge will defile and overwhelm my heart, no matter how hard I try to contain it in one place. You know, cancer cells are cells that are mutation of the normal cells, different forms. But whenever cancer comes, it does not allow the good cells to still grow. It will overwhelm this tissue and take over and make all of its resources to make more cancer cells. You cannot have two cells at the same place, cancer cells and normal tissue. Will not happen. Cancer will take over. If you have a glass of water that have hundreds of drops of clear water, And you say, I will only allow one drop of ink to fall in this glass. We all know the result. The result is the whole glass will be stained with the color of the ink. And this whole glass of water will not be like useful in any way. It is the same concept as well. That's why when the Lord warned us against allowing two seeds to grow in the same vineyard, this is what he meant. Overall, at the end of the day, the evil one will take over and defile the whole lawn. So the command for us not to plant hatred in our hearts towards anyone, even our enemies, even those people who hurt us, it is at the beginning, first of all, it is for our benefit, for us to defend ourselves against the seed of evil. A seed of hatred not only will defile the whole lawn, but also it will bear fruits. What kind of fruits will come from this evil seed? Anger. There is a difference, by the way, between some who get upset and maybe like act in a short temper way, and anger. Anger is a status where people are moving with it whenever they are all overwhelmed with this. You can know that this person is angry all times, even while he is maybe trying to cover this anger. Anger comes from hatred, one of the reasons why it rains. Cruelty, another fruit of the evil seed of hatred. Obsession. By obsession, I mean if I hate someone, he is the only person who comes to my heart. I sleep thinking of him. I woke up in the morning thinking of him. Before I eat and after I finish my meal, while working, while praying, while in the church, I only see this person. The church might have maybe 500 people, but whenever I come to the church, in my mind, I'm looking for the person that I hate. This is what happens when the seed of hatred takes over the lawn of my heart. We become obsessed with those people whom we hate. No matter, again, at the end of the day, if they are mistaken or not, at the same, it doesn't matter. The same result I will end up having. Another fruit of the seed of hatred is desire for revenge. Even if I cannot do it by hand, it is in my fantasy. Maybe I think of this person maybe getting hit with a car or getting in trouble some one way or another. It's better for him to be dead. And after, even if he dies, this is not going to come to an end also. So what is the aim of Satan when he allows people to hurt one another? The problem with the people who are hurt is not the hurt. It is to accept the seed of hatred. Persecution is not after killing the believers. No. The most important result that Satan wants to achieve when someone is persecuting you or giving you a hard time or is hurting you one way or another is you accept from him the seed of hatred. Yes, it is justified. I should hate this person. I will plant this seed in my heart, and then it is okay that I hate this particular person because of what he did to me. This is exactly the result that Satan wants to achieve. It's not for you to be killed by a person who is persecuting you, but actually to be killed by the seed of hatred, accepting it in your heart. Leaving the seed of hatred to grow will turn my heart eventually into a piece of hill. This seed is usually fed or watered by the fuel of self-pity and replaying again the hurt over and over and over and over. What happened to me 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 or 100 years ago? I will keep playing it over and over and over, and the more I do it, the more this seed grows, the more this wicked plant becomes enormous in my heart. Feeding this seed, what will happen? It will lock me in hell, literally. Sometimes people at the door of the church, if they know that this particular person is there, will not go to the church. You know what does it mean? What will happen at the door of heaven then? If I cannot go to the church and see this person there, this means one thing. I have no place in the kingdom of God because it is either me or the other person. There is a famous book by C.S. Lewis called The Great Divorce. He says that the gates of hell are locked from inside, meaning people who are in, they lock over themselves. I want to be here. I find rest in this place. In this book, there is a story. It's a fiction. The story is about people who are in hell were given a chance to travel to heaven. And then a bus came and took the people to take them from hell to heaven. While people are like in this journey, they were talking to one another. So a person said to the person beside them, "You look familiar. I think I know you. Where did I see you before?" So the person next to him told him, "I am your murderer. I killed you and that's why I was in hell." He told him, "What are you doing in this bus?" He said, I asked God for another chance and he granted to me as he granted to you. So the man who was killed in his life before going to hell looked to him and said, "Are you going to heaven with me?" He said to him, "Yes, I was granted forgiveness like you." He told him, "There is no way I will end up being with you in one place." He asked the bus driver to stop. He went down, took the bus back to hell because he does not want to be in a place with the same person who killed him. This is exactly what this hell is about. That my heart is enraged to the point that I would choose to be burned in hell's fire rather than shaking the hand of the person that I consider as an enemy. Sometimes we question why a person who commit an act, a sin, in a specific time, and this person will end up living in eternity in hell. Isn't this so much? People say that this is cruelty from God, that I commit a sin for a minute or for an hour or for a day, and then I end up into hell spending my eternity. My brethren, let us think about it this way. We as humans, we are eternal beings. We will live forever. Since the time we were created, we were given the Spirit from God, so we live forever. The problem is, if I allow my heart to have this kind of hatred, this hell in my heart, and I live a million years, even if my life comes to an end after 20 or 30 or whatever, after a million years, myself, my whole being, will be just a piece from hell. That's it. On the other hand, if I struggle in order for my heart to be like peaceful, to have heaven in me, after a million years from now, I will be more heavenly. So that's why we end up into the place we allow it to grow in my heart. If I allow the kingdom of Satan in my heart, I will end up into his kingdom. If I allow the kingdom of God in my heart, I will end up with him as well. Another problem with an evil seed is on many occasions, the evil plant will disguise itself to look like a good one. Meaning, we seldom acknowledge that we hate anyone. We can say things like, "I'm not comfortable, I don't like his deeds, etc., etc. It's out of my zeal, because I want his benefit, I want to change this person." All of these are good names, but the reality might be something totally different. How can we uproot the plans of the wicked one? How can we take this out? Number one is when we are on continuous search for the evil plant of hatred in my heart, finding and tracing any kind of bitterness, where is it? And then I ask God to take it away from me. Secondly, by offering true repentance. Offering true repentance means what? Taking responsibility. Somebody to hurt you, it's fine. You hating him is your responsibility. No one will impose hatred on you unless you accept or you agree on that. Don't say, "I hate him because he did this to me." Not every person who is hurt had to hate the other person in return. I have to take responsibility. It is because of my weakness that I hate another human being. taking responsibility. When we keep talking about he did this, he did that, he did this, he did that, this is not going to change the status that I am in or make me to be justified before God when I said I hate him because he did this. Christ on the cross, no one was ever humiliated, hated, tortured like what happened to him. On the cross, he was still able to pray for those people who crucified him. Taking responsibility is part of the repentance that I am requested to offer. Calling things by name. I call my feelings in the right name. This is hatred. This is grudge. This is bitterness. It has no other name, no matter how much I try to make it look bitter. Offering sincere apology when needed. The time you go to the person and say to him, I'm sorry, this is again taking from you this hatred. If the other person does not accept it, this is up to him. He is locking himself out in hell. This is his problem. This is not yours. But you have to do it whenever it is due. If you owe him an apology or her, it is something we have to do it. Confessing before God and my confession, Father, all of these are ways to offer repentance. To uproot a plant of the wicked one also, we have to fight against the salts of self-pity or replaying the hurt over and over. Sometimes when you talk with a person who hates someone, he keeps repeating for you what this person did. He did this and this and this and this. And when we try to him, let go, let us forgive this. How can I forgive this? And keep on saying them over and over and over. Not only for days or months or no, this is for years, forever. I will keep saying this over and over. I have to resist the temptation of bringing this event or hurt over and over in my mind. My emotions is not something I can control. This will be left to God to heal. Your struggle is with your will. In order for you to love this person with your will, not emotionally, it is hard. Your emotions is not under your control 100%. Meaning I offered the act of love toward this person. Even another thing is to understand, even if a friendship is impaired, it's not going to happen again that we become friends, we should always allow peaceful and respectful interactions to be there whenever possible. At least whenever you are at church, you can turn to this person when they say kiss one another, and then you can extend your hand and do this act of peace. If you can do it, then this is again something that says that you are trying to help yourself to get over the hurt. The sixth point is how to uproot the plant of the wicked one, is that never act out of a desire for revenge. No matter how justified, no matter how convinced you are, you have to do this in order to hurt this person back. This should not be something we accept or act on it. The last thing is praying for those who hurt you and for yourself. Prayer is an act of love. When you pray for someone by name, you are showing before God that you truly love him. You want him to be a good person. You want him to forgive you. And you want yourself not to be captivated by bitterness or grudge. Patience and being like always mindful that, okay, time may heal things, may heal you even above anything else, are all powerful remedies against the evil seed of hatred. When the Lord said, love your enemy, he is guarding us against the evil seed of hatred. When he is requesting us to observe this kind of love towards anyone, all the people, even those people who are enemies to us, he is actually helping us not to fall into the sin of hatred, not to be enslaved by this kind of cruel master who hold on the heart of man and leave it with extreme difficulty. May the Lord to guard our hearts and keep it always pure, not to have any kind of seed of hatred towards anyone. To the glory, to the Lord be the glory forever and ever. Amen.